Welcome to In-Depth, an in-depth look at the interesting, educational, and timely topics affecting you right here in Marion County and beyond. The one to count on for today's local news coverage is KNIA KRLS. And now with today's In-Depth, here is Dr. Bob Leonard.
A Republican considering a run for Congress was in Pella recently. Let's go in-depth with Dr. Marionette Miller-Meeks, Director of the Iowa Department of Public Health, Des Moines. Dr. Miller-Meeks, what brings you to Pella today?
Well, I'm in Pella today. As you know, yesterday we had our Healthiest State Walk, and we have a program and an initiative within our state, the Healthiest State Initiative. So we're trying to get out to communities, talk with people about health, simple things that they can do to improve their health, and then also have had support with meeting people, trying to engage them in the process of being more engaged in their community and more engaged in their government.
Well, and as I see you here in Pella, you're walking around shaking hands, meeting people. It looks like maybe you're running for office. Is that correct? Or that you're thinking about running for office.
Well,
is that correct?
I've been asked to consider running for office, and as you know, that's a challenging process when you run for office. It's a grueling process to campaign, and you want to gauge what kind of support that there may be out there, but it's very flattering to be recruited both within the state and outside of the state to run for office. Got a big job right now, just trying to keep people healthy, so want to work and focus on what we're doing in the Department of Public Health and what we're doing with all of our activities with the Community Transformation Grants and the Healthiest State Initiative. So that's a big process in and of itself.
What got you interested in public health? Obviously, you're a doctor, you're interested in general health, but how did you become director of public health?
That was a road that went through working with things in your community. My husband was a co-chair for Komen Race for the Cure. He was one of the co-chairs for RAGBRAI. As a physician, you're doing work on prevention as well as the work you do in your practice. I had volunteered at free medical clinics, and then I also was a CASA, or court-appointed special advocate, volunteer working with children. Our young ladies who had children and they were being brought into the child welfare system, and how to keep these young children with their families and help the parent to develop better parenting skills and to a process by which they keep their children. So that's the court-appointed special advocate, or CASA volunteers. And through that process, I had known Governor Branstad from when I was the president of the Iowa Medical Society. And then my husband and I were very helpful, especially my husband, in working with Des Moines University to get a one-year rotation for their third-year medical students at Ottumwa Regional Hospital and in Ottumwa. And so as part of that process, we knew Governor Branstad. As a matter of fact, we have hosted those medical students at our house when they do a one-month rotation. And the year that their one-year rotation started, we had two students that stayed at our house for that entire time. So we had a relationship with Governor Branstad in that regard. And then having had a previous campaign meeting on the campaign trail, when he got elected, he asked me to come on board as the director of the Department of Public Health. And then it's been a process of learning, growing, maturing, and advocating for a department that has a lot under its umbrella, under its purview.
More in depth after this. I continued my conversation with Dr. Marionette Miller-Meeks, director of the Iowa Department of Public Health, who's considering a run for Congress. Well, it seems that we're at a critical stage with respect to health care in America, and I'm guessing that you think with your background, you might have something to add to that dialogue.
Absolutely. I think when you're looking at medical care, we don't want to ruin the excellent medical care system we have. So we have the highest cancer survival rates of the top cancers of any country in the world. But we do have a financing problem, and we need people to have access to care, but it needs to be affordable care. And then how do you involve them in their own health? So there's health, and there's medical care, and there's a difference difference between those two things. One, we can do a great deal about. So we control about 70% of the behaviors that lead to medical problems or chronic disease. So getting people to my public health hat, I'm going to give you my typical comments. We need people to eat less, to walk more, have a plant slant to their diet, eat more fruits and vegetables, brush their teeth twice a day, smile a lot. It does help. Sleep 8. And then immunize. And, you know, those things, incorporating those simple health messages can go a long way to prevent chronic disease. And even we, as we continue to learn about the value of fruits and vegetables and, you know, meat in lower quantities and leaner meats, that we can have a healthier population and even perhaps prevent some cancers.
Well, how are you going to negotiate that fine line between your interests in healthcare and you being an advocate for healthy lifestyles, et cetera, and the general resistance that should you decide to run for office and should you be elected? How do you get around some of that general resistance that people have about government getting into their personal lives that way? I mean, Michelle Obama has really taken a hit for her healthy care initiatives.
Yeah, the Let's Move campaign and My Plate, I think having redesigned the food pyramid and really looking at our nutrition, that's actually a good thing. It's a value to all of us as communities, that if we can remind people that, you know, as they eat and what they eat and what they consume does play an important part in what their weight will be, the development of chronic diseases associated with obesity, such as diabetes or hypertension. But the point you're making is a valid point. And so there are some people who see government as the only answer. And there are other people who don't want any government involvement. That's really what I think is so, you know, so endearing about the Healthy Estate Initiative. So in the Department of Public Health, we have community transformation grants, which work on developing people within a community, in a city, to take on health issues so that there's nutrition advice, working with doctors, working with employers to do worksite wellness, working with other leaders within the community, working with pharmacists and doctors to have medication management, reconciliation, and, you know, making sure people are taking the right medications, they're getting their medications. And then we have the Healthy Estate Initiative, which is not a government entity, that's working within communities to build up a volunteer framework of people that will help people to go walk, you know, restaurants to alter their menus and put healthy options at the front, all as a volunteer activity. So it's not mandated by the government, but you have both of these arms. And I think you're correct. If the message is coming from both non-governmental people, your family members, and from the government, then you have, I think, more impact on changing behavior. Certainly, changing behavior is the most difficult thing that anybody does, whether it's within a business, whether it's in a nonprofit, whether it's in a government agency, or whether it's, you know, in a for-profit entity. But trying to change behavior is extraordinarily difficult, and I think it will take all of us to do that.
More in depth after this. I continued my conversation with Dr. Marionette Miller Meeks, director of the Iowa Department of Public Health, who's considering a run for Congress. Well, what higher office are you thinking about running for?
I've been asked to consider running for federal Congress in District 2, which that seat is currently held by Dave Loebsack.
Okay, and you ran against him before?
Yes, sir, I did. And I lost.
Well, but you're considering continuing on and taking that challenge again. Now, why? I personally would think, well, okay, you know, maybe it didn't work last time, maybe I'd back off, but it seems that you're ready to go again.
Well, I'm not sure that I'm quite ready to go again, but you have to take in the context of you, your family, and then what you think that you can bring. And can you offer more that helps with the critical issues that we're facing today? And we are facing some tremendous issues. So on one hand, I look at it that there's worse things than losing. So you can lose. It's no fun to lose, especially in such a public way as when you're in a campaign. But there's worse things than that. You know, we have an economy that is struggling. We have a lack of job creation. I have two children that just graduated college, and luckily they were able to find jobs. But their ability to be able to climb the socioeconomic ladder, or to even to achieve what my husband and I did. And my husband and I were both very poor. I'm one of eight kids. No one in my family had gone to college. I'm the fourth. My husband is one of nine kids. He's the second in line. He still is the only person in his family, they're from North Carolina, that has ever gone to college. For us to be able to work ourselves through school, go to college, get advanced degrees, and to be able to then put both of our children through school, help all of our family members, help my mother, who now has the beginning stages of dementia, you know, that's a tremendous asset to help our community, to be able to, you know, help the Bridgeview Center in Ottumwa or the McCreary Cancer Center, activities that are going around, help support young people as they want to go on to the Great Western trip or to the Washington, D.C. trip. You know, those are all things that you bring into the community. And so you look at that and you say, can my children do that? So what are we doing with our economy? How much struggling is there? Southeast Iowa has the highest unemployment rate in our state. What's happening there? What are we doing for job creation? You know, what are we doing for middle-class incomes? Middle-class incomes have not risen, but yet that's the burden of our taxation. We have General Electric, you know, a huge business that had paid zero in income tax. And so do we have a tax code that needs to be reformed so that people do pay taxes instead of looking for ways not to pay taxes? And would a simpler tax reform achieve that? Do we have pro-growth policies? You know, are the policies that we have in our taxation system policies that force businesses to keep money overseas and grow overseas rather than growing jobs here at home? Our educational structure. Do we have an educational structure that allows people to enter the system, and then if they have a skill, develop a skill and go on and be successful, or if they want a higher education, to go into higher education, and can they afford it? Who's speaking for the middle class? Who speaks for the poor and the low income now and the middle class? I don't see anybody standing up for the little guy at this point in time. And believe me, I know a lot about being the little guy at 4'11".
Well, I'm just going to have to say that I've sat down with Dave Loebsack, and he said almost word for word some of the same things that you've said. Now, but what do you say in response to that?
I would say Dave Loebsack has a record, so go back and look at his record and look at what he's done.
All right, well, then say what you would do different. How about that?
I think we need to truly look at tax reform where we can bring in revenue, but that we can also fulfill our obligations to people that allows job creation to occur. We don't have that currently. We need to look at the taxation that's in the Affordable Care Act, and if it really, you know, are we creating affordable health care for everyone? We can have health care for people, but it needs to be affordable, not just to give them access to health care, and it needs to be quality health care. You know, our educational system, what are we doing to help people, no matter where they are, achieve a quality education? And it's not just that we have a public school system, but what are we doing for school choice as we go forward and looking at our educational system? What do we do for young people? It's not just people that want to go to college, but are we supportive of those people whose talent or skill may not be in college, but may be in a trade, whether they're an electrician, a plumber, a farmer, you know, someone who wants to work in construction, or someone that wants to be an entrepreneur? Are we putting up too many barriers for people that want to start a business on their own? I don't see a lot of movement in those kinds of issues. And do we have a government that's accountable? Right now we have a government that has a problem with the NSA with spying on its citizens. We have an IRS that has targeted groups of people. And it doesn't matter whether you're a liberal group, whether you're a conservative group, or who you are. We shouldn't have an arm of the government targeting its own citizens. And those are issues that people say, if you're going to expand government, don't we need to have a government that's accountable and responsible?
Well, let's go back to the taxation. You mentioned GE not paying any taxes, but at least from my perspective, a layperson's perspective, it looks like communities are, and a lot of government officials are racing to the bottom to provide every opportunity for every business to come into our neighborhood, to grow jobs in our neighborhoods by offering them all kinds of tax incentives. And so it's a race to the bottom to see who can give the companies the lowest taxation rate so that they can come into our community. So how do we negotiate that fine line between businesses paying no taxes and them paying taxes that are appropriate.
So you have taxation on the local level or the state level, and then you have taxation on the federal level. And those policies do need to be aligned and addressed to see, does our federal tax policy, especially towards corporations, does that create the difficulties we see on states? But remember, states are offering their tax policies in order to bring in a business, and they're competing with other states. The federal government policy is something different, and our current policy, does it create and drive outsourcing because of the way that our taxation policy is? We now have the highest corporate tax rate in the world, but we can't forget that all businesses aren't big businesses that pay the corporate tax rate. A lot of those are very small businesses that pay at the individual tax rate, and they're being unfairly penalized currently. So there's not equity in that taxation, if you will, when you look at individual small businesses, and then you look at larger businesses and the corporate tax rate. But our corporate tax rate is the highest in the world. We're in a global economy now, and we want the United States to be competitive. One way to have diplomacy that works and avoid wars is to have a strong economy. So we want to grow our economy, we want a stronger economy, and we want to be able to have a tax policy that allows businesses to stay and grow in the United States.
If you had a magic wand and could wave it and change anything about America today, about our country, what would you wave your magic wand at?
My magic wand would actually be to wave the magic wand and to recognize the strength and the goodness of the American people, that we should be championing what we have here, champion the people that every day go out, work, pay taxes, work in their community, volunteer, and do the right thing. There are tons of those people in our nation, and recognizing them, acknowledging them, and trying to harness the resources that they bring, I think will bring us back to a great nation. Some people see that our nation's in decline, and maybe that's the optimism of Ronald Reagan, but we need to be optimistic about what it is that we can offer, what we can do, the challenges that we've overcome before in the past, and the challenges that we can face and overcome in the future.
Thanks to Dr. Marionette Miller-Meeks for contributing to the program. For KNIA KRLS News, this is Dr. Bob Leonard bringing you today's news and information in depth from our little corner of the universe.
In Depth is available for podcast in the radio audio media player on KNIAKRLS.com. You'll find additional information, pictures, and more, or subscribe to the In Depth podcast and never miss an episode. If you have local topics you'd like to hear on In Depth, send an email to Bob Leonard at KNIAKRLS.com. The one to count on for today's news and local information is KNIAKRLS and KNIAKRLS.com.